Thanks for joining Trail Runner Nation. We are going to do right now the Tailwind Nutrition Trip of the Tail.
Trip of the Tail?
Start over.
Crap. Start from the top.
Today's Trail Runner Nation. Dang it. I'm just going to keep going. Just remember.
Wait. Yeah.
Welcome to another Tailwind Tip of the Trail. And today we have Josh Katzman, who's here to give us his tip. Josh?
The tip is actually refers to the tip of the tit, if you will. And remember, tape your nipples.
Oh, there's nothing worse than a bloody nipple.
And you know, I will say this. One thing that I learned was you go get the little round Band-Aids.
That works?
The round Band-Aids are brilliant. They're perfect.
And you can even use just a piece of athletic tape. Or some Glide.
The KT tape. That's what I find the KT tape works for. Doesn't work for anything else, but it works for taping your nipples.
Have you ever applied Glide to your nipple, Josh? Not while running.
Well, running?
I do it frequently before a long run.
Hey, or work.
I've also noticed that if you can get paid for it, good. Hey, I've also noticed that it's a type of fabric. I have some old Patagonia. They're almost like sandpaper, and I have experienced some severe chafage in that area based on this shirt. The newer ones, no problem. So I'm not bashing Patagonia, all the new stuff. I'm in good shape. But I have some old retro Patagonia stuff from back in the day, from 2004-ish. Woo! That'll wake you up.
Yeah.
That'll wake you up.
So nipple up.
So that's there you have another tit of the trail. tip of the trail.
Are we recording?
Faith, give me a little 1-2.
1-2.
4.
3-4. 5-6. Check.
Ashley, were you expecting a professional podcast?
No, I wasn't. Apparently not. Sorry, guys.
I'm stretching my groin.
Whatever.
I feel vulnerable.
And it was a miserable, miserable day.
Okay, so we ready? Go ahead, Scott. Kick this thing off.
Thanks for joining another edition of Trail Runner Nation. My name is Scott Warr.
And I'm Don Freeman. We're going to have a podcast today, Scott.
Good.
We brought in Terry Orsi, and he is a man that I met on the American River 50 Trail this year.
I'm running 50 mile.
50 mile. And for the record, I ran just the first 27. I didn't run the whole thing because I was working part of it. I really kind of say that just in...
The only reason you were running is because your car wouldn't start and you needed to get to the 27-mile mark, right?
That's where my car was, yeah. So I worked the start, had to get to the middle somehow. And I'm running along, and all of a sudden, I see a gentleman in front of me. And he doesn't have any shoes on. And I'm thinking, all right, well, this is interesting. I've never been actually on a 50-mile run with a barefoot runner. And I know they exist. There's Barefoot Ted, and he's out there. And there's others that do it. I know he's not the first, but he's my first.
Well, in the mile 27, we're talking...
I'm not at mile 27. I'm at mile 4 or 5.
Okay, so it's
early on.
Paved bike path.
So we're on paved bike path, and I'm thinking, okay, that's maybe doable. You know, you're out there running. There really isn't any hard stuff. There aren't any rocks that you can stub your toe into and, you know, make your toe point straight up. I've got to catch this guy and learn his plan. You know, what's he all about and what's he going to do? So I'm running forward, and I catch him, and I thought, first thing I thought is, I hope we can do a podcast with this because I'm thinking, if I want to ask some questions to this gentleman and this runner, maybe there are others that want to hear too. Terry, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
So, you were running without shoes. Was this? Did you forget your shoes? Where did this? when did the plan? Do you initiate the plan? I'm not going
to
use shoes.
Well, you know, I do wake up early to get to these races, and you know, so I did forget my shoes. But, no, seriously, it was my plan to run barefoot for the entire 50 miles.
Do you train barefoot?
Mostly, yes.
How long ago did you start running barefoot?
I started about 3.5 years ago.
What inspired you 3.5 years ago to toss the shoes? Was it the outrageous price of trail shoes and you said that's it? Did you read a book? What happened?
Well, I had run several marathons prior, about starting about 6-7 years ago, and after my third marathon I pulled a muscle in my intercostals, and not related to running, just from a cough, and I took like 2 years off because I just couldn't get back into the rhythm.
Right.
And so I read Born to Run because I had heard it was about these people who could run 200-300 miles at a stretch. And I thought, well, if I could just glean just a tidbit of information from them, you know, maybe I could help out my marathon time because I had never hit my goal of 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know it was about barefoot running. Read the book cover to cover in like 2 days. And then hit the road for a 2.5 mile barefoot run on like New Year's Day.
So you read in 2 days the whole book and took your shoes off and started running barefoot.
Exactly.
So how much wow. research did you do outside? Because that book really isn't a how-to book. It's not. It's more of a story that right. inspires you to become an athlete and realize that we came from people that ran for survival and existence, right? And there are still people doing it today. And maybe some may argue that we run for our own survival and existence too, even though we have our own rap race that we're in each day. So did you investigate? Did you Google barefoot and start reading? How did you get there?
You know, that first run, I did not do any research. I just my sister-in-law was in town for, you know, the holidays, and she was training for her first half marathon, and I thought, well, I'll just join you for your morning run. So I went out and we did 2.5 miles, and I loved it. I hadn't run in almost 2 years, and I did not feel winded at all. I just felt alive and energetic, and I thought, this is fantastic.
So this is on the road?
This is on the road. Okay. Yeah. And after that, I just kept running, built up. And at that point, I started doing a little more research, which basically said, slow down.
Mm-hmm.
And don't build up too fast. But I'm kind of stubborn, and I kept going. I built up to about 5-6 miles, and I had it in my head, I'm going to run a barefoot half marathon in the first 6 months, and got to a couple weeks out and started having like a tendonitis on the top of my foot. Had to take about 6 to 8 weeks off.
Yeah, so what did they know, that advice? Don't
right,
start
you
too
know,
fast.
Everybody, everywhere you look, it says start out slow, build up slow, and I thought, yeah.
That's for the other guy.
Yeah, that's the other guy, not me. Yeah, so that's basically how I got started. And then after I took the 6 to 8 weeks to get healthy again, then I was like, okay, maybe there's something to it. Started building up slow, and after that, it was very easy to just increase distance.
So I want to know, first time you go out and run, you ran 2 miles?
2.5, yeah.
2.5 miles. What did your feet look like when you were done?
Just dirty. That was it, pretty much.
So did you have to change? I mean, did you have a pretty good running gait, did you think, before that, or did you have to change the way you ran?
I definitely had to change the way I ran. You know, in running shoes, even still, if I wear kind of a built-up shoe, I go to a heel strike automatically. I have to really focus to go back to what I know is correct, what I've learned in barefoot running.
So during your time that you were – you know, learning to barefoot and become accommodate to that type of new footwear, which is nowhere. did you modify your gait gradually through that, or did you feel like you just went out there without anything on and naturally fell into the proper gait pattern?
I think that to a certain extent, it is a natural feeling. There are some things you definitely have to learn. You have to kind of ask about or learn, read about. The first thing you learn naturally is you cannot really heel strike barefoot, especially on a hard surface like the road. It just, you make it a couple of steps and you'll kind of say, this is nuts. So you naturally will go up onto your forefoot, midfoot. The trick, though, is at that point not to stay on your toes. Going barefoot is not running on your toes. Your heel does come down and it does touch just for a brief second, so your entire foot comes in contact with the ground. If you stay up on your toes, you're going to blow out your calves eventually.
Now, I noticed when I tried to, you know, I changed my gait and worked on coming down forefoot, that I ended up with some calf soreness just from the calf being a deaccelerator, trying to take in some of the stress. And so I noticed some pleasant.
Yeah, know, definitely. You know, in the beginning, there was a lot of development of the muscles in the feet and the calves, just leg strength in general.
We talk about muscles developing in the foot and in the calf, but what about the bottom of your foot? I've got to think that there's some time to toughen that up, and then I've got an observation that I made on at the end of the race. So
I wanted to ask you about that. We've talked about that.
Yes, we have.
It's probably the burning question of everybody.
Yeah. Generally speaking, the bottom of my feet. People always ask, can I see the bottom of your feet? You know, either before a race, after a race.
No one's ever asked me that, by the way, Terry. I've waited for years.
But generally speaking, the skin on the bottom of my feet is smooth as a baby's bottom. It's very soft. I don't have calluses.
Terry, have you seen a baby's bottom?
I have two children.
All right. Qualified statement. Then go ahead.
Yeah. So is the reason that, I mean, do you like, do extra care with your feet? Like, do you loofah?
No.
Or do you go and get mani pedis?
Never. Never had a mani pedi. And no, I don't loofah.
Yeah.
That's another podcast. Dial back to Warren Pohl.
Yeah. But I think a lot of it, well, I think part of it depends on the surface you're running on. So mm-hmm. like when I'm doing a lot of training on the road, because I live in town, so I don't do a lot of trail running regularly. It's kind of like an exfoliation. So I've got, you know, I guess you could say I loofah while I run. So, yeah, so there's that. And then also when you're barefoot running, it's really about efficiency. There's no wasted energy or very little wasted energy. And in being efficient, you don't push off, which, you know, people in shoes have a tendency to do. And you get immediate feedback. So if I start pushing off on a run, I'll sense hot spots, you know, behind my toes, on the ball of my foot, the inside of my foot somewhere. And I know immediately I'm doing something wrong. I'm either slowing down my cadence or I'm pushing off. And then I check those two things. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, the problem goes away.
I don't think I've ever heard that.
No, that's interesting because he talks about running efficiency. And I know that I have scuffed coming in, right, or going down hills and maybe scuff a little bit and cheat a little bit on deacceleration.
And that's painful when you're barefoot.
You can't do that. You've got to do something, or maybe you
it
do.
It happens. It doesn't feel good when it does, but you really can't.
You're deterred from it. I'm not, right? I just have to, you know, make some dust for the other guy or just... But that efficiency of making sure you set and go versus scuff or push off and do the things that you're talking about.
Exactly.
Wow.
Now I want to get back to this whole push off thing. So I have a question, but I don't know how to phrase it. If you say you're not pushing off, is that in the form of an answer, Scott? Is that because it's not Jeopardy? Is that because you're getting your forward momentum by leaning?
There is a slight lean, and I'm trying to think of the best explanation for it, but you know, utilizing the muscles in your feet as the arch as a spring, your calves as a spring, it's all one kind of, you're in that forward motion already. I guess you could say it's like leaning, but you're still pretty upright.
You're inclined. Inclined at the ankles.
There you go.
You know, this is strange. We have three men speaking to each other about running with no shoes. Like, how is this possible? Tell us, how do you run with no shoes, sir? You know, we've been doing it for eons. He runs with no shoes, Scott. Get him on the podcast.
And if you think of the world history as a whole, the amount of time we've been running with shoes is just a blip.
We should be talking about running in shoes. So it's the end of the race. And we have plenty of pieces of the race to talk about, because I want to talk to him a little bit about some of the details through there. But we're talking about the bottom of the feet, so I want to keep it in context. He finishes the race, goes over and gets his medal. He gets his great Patagonia jacket, right?
That was
the Houdini.
That was what I was doing it for. It was American
the jacket. River 50. You're not the first one that's done it for the jacket.
That is a beautiful jacket. And I went over, and you ran in with your two children.
Yes.
And they were in shoes, by the way.
My son was in minimalist shoes, but okay. Yes, he was in shoes.
Technically shoes. And I went over and I said, not easy. I said, Terry, I've got to feel the bottom of your feet. And you know what? They were exactly
as
he said.
That's kind of weird.
It was weird, but I took the risk because I wanted to feel his feet. And they were smooth as a baby's bottom.
After 50 miles.
Yeah.
Did you get any blisters?
I did. It was probably the, in terms of like, I haven't had a lot of injuries, barefoot injuries, but and I have had blisters on occasion. I did get two of the worst blisters I've ever had on this race. Ironically, the first one started not long after I ran into you, Don. Mm. And I think it was you were pushing my pace.
Ooh. I had him push off a little bit and scuff a little
right.
bit.
That's right. He just kept and starting and stopping. Uh-huh. Hey, yeah.
So let me tell you how he departed. Yeah. So I only had to run half the race, right, because I'm running to a car. So I had the luxury of going out a little bit quicker. So all of a sudden we run up in between two guys in Hokas, right?
Yes.
And I look back and I go, how about this for irony, right?
It's like an Oreo.
I've got a guy in the middle without shoes and then two sets of Hokas. And then the Hoka gentleman said, well, you know, there's a lot of barefoot characteristics to the Hoka. And that's when I said, I've got to keep pushing this pace. I don't want to. I cannot stick around for this discussion. How can there be?
Wait, Winnie.
I don't know.
What happened, Terry, after I left?
We actually, I only remember hanging out with one of them. We hung together till about 18. That's when the blister, we'll get to that. But yeah, we talked a lot. He actually did some barefoot training. So he uses the barefoot running form, but he wears Hokas.
Okay.
So,
really?
Yeah. And actually, I did. You were saying what I would give for a picture of this, and there is actually a picture of the two of us running.
Oh, do you have it?
It's on my blog. I think I've got it on my phone. But
you need to send that to us.
That's going to be our – we'll post that. That'll be our picture.
Very nice guy named Mike. I think he's from the Bay Area. Yeah.
Well, good. I knew that was going to be an interesting conversation they must have, you know, when they were comparing the similarities.
Okay. So let's get back to – I mean, there's a bunch of logistics questions just because I know the trail at AR50, but you said your first blister started forming.
I think I was around just before sunrise, which is like 14.
Okay.
This is still bike path.
Still bike path. I started feeling a hot spot, or what I thought was a hot spot. So I get to the aid station, you know, my wife's got my stuff.
I hope. What, just in a bag.
She did have shoes in a bag, and I did have some Huarache sandals in my pack, which that comes in later. And I checked the bottom of my foot, and I see nothing. So I thought, well, maybe I stepped on a pebble, and it's just kind of like a bruise that's just irritating me. Get close to mile 18, I look down, definite quarter-size blister.
Where?
Right on the ball of my foot.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, this is not good.
Yeah, well, that's the spot you need.
Right, that's exactly it's exactly where I leave.
Is there not a spot on your foot you don't need?
Well, the top of his foot isn't an issue because there's not a shoe there.
Right. Yeah, so, you know, about 18, I'm trying to think 18. Yeah, about 18, it goes to some gravel sections.
Uh-huh.
So I knew there was no way the blister was going to survive the gravel, which is why I brought the sandals. So I flip on my Huaraches.
Plan B.
Hit mile 20, and the blister is basically now half dollar-ish size. And hit mile 20, and it's about to go onto a little trail section, and I feel this pop. And I look down, and the Huarache is just covered in fluids.
Okay, at this point, what's the farthest you'd ever run barefooted prior to this 50-mile?
I ran a 50K. Okay. I ran the Skyline 50K out in the Bay Area.
How long before the 50 mile?
It was 2 years because I attempted AR50 last year.
Barefoot?
Yes.
And did not make it because of feet or just
because
it's 50 miles?
A week before I strained my Achilles, and basically by 11 I was hobbling.
Okay.
So,
all right. Okay. Fair enough.
Okay. So mile 20, you hear a pop.
I hear a pop, look
luckily,
down.
Luckily it's fluid and not your Achilles.
All right. Yeah, definitely. Because actually, up to that point, I was really, you know, the whole time up to sunrise is where I dropped last year. I was thinking, I just got to get past sunrise. And so now I'm at, you know, 20, blisters pop. It actually felt better because I didn't have that pressure.
Yeah.
And the only thing was I didn't really have anything to rinse it off. My water bottle had sports string in it, and my pack had water. It was on a tube.
So. Terry, you're running in dirt, just so you know. Okay.
Yeah. So I just figured whatever, I couldn't rinse it, so I just kept going. Got to the next aid station where my wife and kids were, and Mike, thankfully, had gotten...
Hoka Mike
got ahead, and he had seen my family along the way, and so he warned them, hey, you know, your guy's coming in with a blister. He's probably going to need shoes. So I come into the aid station. My son, thankfully, had my padded tape, and And then I get to where they are, and my wife says, "Do you want your shoes?" And I said, "No, give me the tape."
No, back up a little bit. Padded tape? Are we talking moleskin?
It's like kind of like a moleskin. It's just on a roll. I just put a couple strips on the bottom of my foot and then secured it with some regular athletic tape in a couple of spots, and then threw my sandals back on because it was still gravel at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And took off. I said, "I'll see you guys at the next aid station."
Okay. So
I'd like to know a little bit about single track. So we've heard about gravel, yep. and I'm with you on Hirachi's on gravel. Pass.
Actually, gravel by itself, I can handle, but
without sandals.
Without sandals. Well, I mean, there's degrees of gravel.
Right.
But I did a training run on the Air 50 course last year before the race, and I did run that section after Beals, mm-hmm. which is, gravel right. pathway. It's like 3 miles.
Fire road gravel stuff.
Right, uh-huh. Yeah, and that was doable on fresh feet.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew after 26 miles of running on the bike path, I didn't know what condition my feet would be in. And I was actually really surprised that I had the blister to begin with, but that's why I had the tape as a uh-huh. backup. So the sandals were actually mostly with last gasp in mind, that last climb. Mm-hmm. 3 mile climb up a basically horrific gravel road,
yeah.
which I knew that wasn't going to happen straight barefoot.
Well, nobody does well on that. Shoes or no shoes. It's not good.
So, either way. So we get past the fire road, mm-hmm. and now we're into single track dirt.
Yeah, how's that go? Because I've stubbed toes, and I know that if I was barefoot and I stubbed a toe, my toe would look straight up at me, and I just know that would happen.
Well, you're not wearing barefoot on the single track, right?
I am barefoot. Actually,
so you took them
when
off?
When I hit Granite Bay, I pulled them off. I was actually kind of sick of them. I felt like I was pounding the ground hard, even though they're like 4 mil thick.
Yeah.
I just felt like I was.
You didn't have the proprioception that you need.
Right.
They're just too thick for me. Too.
Yeah, too thick. And so got to Granite Bay. I asked the volunteer that I said, "After this, it's just dirt, right?" And then he kind of, and I go, "Except for last gasp." Yeah.
Terry, always rely on the volunteer's knowledge,
right,
trail knowledge.
Yeah, they know
They know.
Intimately.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually they say there's only 2 more miles to the next aid station, and it's really 8.
And it's all downhill.
Right.
And it's really uphill.
Yeah, so I actually, so I pull off the sandals, threw on some more tape, and then took off. And it actually, at that point, we're at 31 and a half roughly, and I just came alive. Once we hit that dirt, it was like, it's on.
And is the popped blister irritating you?
No, it did not bother me the rest of the race. I mean the tape was kind of a pain, but because everyone started to flag.
Just hear what he said. Yeah, the pop blister didn't bother me. It was just the tape.
Yeah, the tape.
It was just too much. It's only like a half a mil thick, but it just bothered me.
Right.
Pesky tape.
That pesky tape.
So let's talk 0 to 10, the old 0 to 10 scale. 10, the worst pain you can ever imagine. Mm-hmm. During the beginning of that race where you experience your first blister, the pavement, the blister forms, where are you there feet-wise, 0 to 10?
Oh, maybe 3. It was like an irritation.
Okay. Have you ever had a 10? Just let me.
A 10 in a race?
Yeah. Just pain, agony, something.
No, I would say the worst I had was my last marathon in shoes when it rained for the entire race.
Yeah.
And my heels blistered and bled horribly from mile 7. And I finished, but it...
I know what that's like.
It's just, that constant stinging,
Gotcha. So you've experienced stuff like that. It puts it in perspective for us shod people.
Right.
So now you're going along and the blister pops... And now
all's good.
Good?
Yeah, good at that point.
And he's now without sandals. He's running single track dirt with lots of... It's not smooth. It's rocky. It's rocky. There's some roots.
Let's talk about foot placement.
Very tricky on downhills.
Yeah.
Uphills, I like a lot of runners, they walk the uphills.
Mm-hmm.
And then the flats was, let's go to town because I need to make up time from the hill. There was a couple of sections... I'd say in the late 30s, where it gets really rocky on the ups and the downs.
Yeah, some technical sharp stuff. Those rocks that sit there and
just wait
for you.
Right, and so I had to really slow down on the downhills there. And, I was trying to keep – my Garmin had died at Beals. And so at that point, I had a running clock. and I was trying to guesstimate my miles based on time.
Do you just use the sun as a barefoot runner?
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of an oxymoron. I run barefoot
with my,
and
with my Garmin.
My Garmin went out.
Yeah, that is pretty weird.
I can't run anymore. My Garmin went out.
So, you know, there was a couple sections where I was, you know, it's like 4 or 5 miles between aid stations. And so I'd leave an aid station. I'd be gone for, you know, a bit of time. And I think I've got to be coming up on that aid station. And so I'd ask somebody, hey, do you got an idea how many miles to the next station? And I'm thinking, you know, half mile, mile. And they're like, oh, yeah, we got 2.5 miles. And I'm thinking, what the heck happened to the time?
Yeah.
It was because I had slowed down so much on some of those downhills. I didn't realize it till, you know, into the 40s that I was like, okay, that's what's going on is I'm really getting held up on these downhills. So then it just became a thought in my mind, whenever I can run, I'm doing everything I can to keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
Just to keep under the cutoffs, you know.
Mm-hmm. So I imagine you had to hear the question, how I mean, besides mine, which was okay, you know, because, you know, I wanted to know, how many times did you say, yes, I am running barefoot? I mean, we could see you didn't have shoes on, but we had to ask you.
Let's put it in perspective. There was like 900 runners that started the race.
Yeah. And you probably figure maybe 400 of them were in front of me from the get-go.
So those guys aren't going to ask.
They're not going to ask because I never saw them.
So roughly 500.
So roughly 500. My favorite comment was, I was sitting on the side of the trail, I was adding some tape, and a guy runs by and he says, you're not going to get any shoe contracts doing it that way.
Great line. But you are going to get some tape
yeah,
contracts,
there you go,
that's
yeah.
for sure.
And how many times did you get the comment, are you crazy?
I actually didn't get crazy. I got a lot of, well, you're really brave, you know, or like, I can't believe you're doing it like that and I'm in shoes, you know, so.
So what would you say the toughest part of the run was for you? Was it your feet? Was it something else? Was it, you know, what was the biggest challenge to overcome in that 50 miles? Because for me, it would be the feet if I didn't have shoes on.
Right.
You know?
Honestly, the toughest part was that last climb. Mm-hmm. And I realized that a lot of people struggle with that last climb. I mean, it's just was like almost 1,000-foot gain in 3 miles, and there's no flat or downhill in that section.
And they put a lot of sun on it intentionally.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, there's no trees.
Well, that's why I waited until the late evening to come in.
So you hung up by the river
down
below?
And just, yeah.
It's nice.
It was rushing pretty good, too. You know, soaked my feet. And, no. I was pretty pressed for time. But I'd say that there wasn't a lot of negative thoughts going through my head. It was very, I'm going to Auburn to get my jacket. And I was so focused that I didn't even realize that I had traded places a couple of times with Gordy Ainsley.
Mm.
And I, you know, I've been.
And you didn't even notice Gordy?
No, I saw him.
Oh, okay.
But it never registered in my mind, hey, that's Gordy. Because I've wanted to meet him many times and I've had a couple of opportunities and here was a perfect one. You know, and
I bet you he would have had a heck of a discussion about barefoot running. He would have gone off on that.
Maybe that's why he didn't hang around near me. He just took off. Yeah, I saw pictures after and I thought, oh man, that was Gordy that I saw.
He was afraid you were going to ask him for his shoes.
There you go. Well, you know, it was funny last year when I was hobbling to 14, there was some, you know, women's running groups that were going up and down the course, and I must have been asked a dozen times by different ladies on that course, you know, would you like a Band-Aid?
Yeah, the Band-Aid's going to help.
Well, it was, yeah, my Achilles. I said, "It's my feet are fine. It's my Achilles."
So there's a question I just lost. I can't remember what it was.
I'll ask this one. How long did it take for you to recover where you could get out there and run after the 50-mile race?
I actually started doing a little bit of jogging on the Tuesday following.
Was it more? So there really wasn't any rehab time at all. You were able to get right back out there.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't do like miles or anything. I was working out with my nephew.
Sure.
Just running around the block and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So my knees were a little tender. The bottoms of my feet more tender, but I was actually pretty surprised. You know, I kept thinking all week, did I really run 50 miles last Saturday?
Can I ask a question, Scott? Hold that thought in your mind.
I'm going to forget my question.
Lock on to it. Go Write ahead. It down.
I got it.
Okay. Knee pain. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed that since you run barefoot, that there are things like maybe ankles or knees or hips or just something up that line that you have less trouble with because you're
absolutely.
Tell us about that.
When I was a shod runner, I would almost very regularly after about 14 miles, my right hip would start to hurt, mm-hmm. and so it became so regular that before I'd go out for a long run, I'd pop two Advil and go for a run, not realizing what I've learned now is that it's really horrible for your kidneys.
Were you trying to kill yourself?
Yeah, I was trying to kill myself, you know, the crazy miles and the Advil.
Yeah.
After I went barefoot, I didn't really think about it much, but once I started getting up to those miles, I wasn't having those problems.
Hmm.
And the biggest thing was I didn't have to pop Advil to go for a run.
Yeah. Fantastic.
So this was a question I forgot. You said that one of the hardest parts on the course was the last gasp to the finish, which is this long three mile climb. Why? Was it difficult because your feet were hurting?
I think it was probably more the common, you know, everybody's just
tired.
Beat and tired, and I was pretty close to the gun. I mean, I finished, I think the official time was like 12:49, and I, you know, I honestly didn't know if I crossed it 13:01 if I would get that jacket. So I have got to give it all for this last hill, and I just power walked the whole thing. And that's how I ended up. I don't know if you saw, Don, the massive blood blister on the heel of my right foot.
I did, right?
Yeah, that was from my sandals because I was, you know, walking.
And you did wear the sandals the last gasp.
Up last gas, and then as soon as I hit the road, pulled them off for the finish, you know.
Yeah, you have to finish without.
I had to finish without.
Did you get a good picture of that coming through? Can you see you didn't have any shoes on?
Yeah, and you can see the tape flag, and, you know. But, yeah, it's a very clear shot that I'm definitely not wearing shoes.
So, you're definitely converted. You're going to keep running barefoot.
Yes.
Are you one of those guys that is going around saying everybody should go barefoot?
Absolutely not. I did have the privilege of pacing a runner last year at Western States, and I wore Merrells. Mm-hmm. I believe that Jason Robillard, I think you are familiar mm-hmm. with him,
right?
Says you wear the most minimalist shoe for the job, and so sometimes it's barefoot, sometimes it's, you know, a more built-up shoe. You know, it just kind of depends on what.
So is there ever an opportunity where you would the right shoe would be a Hoka?
I'm actually curious what it would be like to run in those. They look like giant moon boots to me, you know.
They are.
What size do you wear? We don't even know what size shoe you wear. Do you know?
Do you know what size shoe you wear?
I'm not barefoot all the time.
Do you go to work barefoot? If you go to the store barefoot.
Yeah, yeah. And they kick me out. They say, did you read the sign? No, I wear like a 10 and a half.
So we have a frequent guest on our program called the Sock Docs, Dr. Stephen Gangimi, and he works in his socks. Do you have a job where you can shoeless?
I am a teacher, and so I am required to wear shoes during the day. But you know, when we've had like triathlons at my school, I try to sneak a couple of laps barefoot, you know, while no one's really watching. Well, the kids notice. But
so yeah. Let's talk a little bit about barefoot community, because mm-hmm. there are there's an organization, right?
Yes.
And you have your own you know, personal best records that are set for people that are barefoot, and
yes,
is that true?
I believe the organization you're talking about is Barefoot Runner Society, and okay. I'm actually the San Francisco area chapter president.
We didn't know we were with the dignitaries.
We do have, the website has lots of forums, and people do things like post their miles for the week. They mm-hmm. post times. I don't know officially. I haven't dug through. We've kind of revamped the site recently. I don't know if people are posting like official barefoot record times, mm-hmm. but a lot of people post their times for various races. So But it is definitely a big community. And in fact, this Sunday, we're having our third annual International Barefoot Runners Day. And I'll be out in the Oakland Hills, Joaquin Miller Park. Hmm. And there's just events going on all around the world. We have a couple thousand members and events all over the place.
Well, is there a record set for traveling distance barefoot? I mean, 100 miles. Has anybody crossed the country? And
there was a young gal, possibly in high school last year, that ran across the country. And I believe, if not all of her miles, most of her miles were barefoot.
Wow.
And she ended, I think she started on the East Coast and ended down, I want to say Santa Monica Pier or something.
Hmm. So how about the cold environment? Are there certain, besides just things that are sharp and uncomfortable, is there a time that, hey, if it's freezing out, maybe you should put some shoes on?
There, believe it or not, there are barefoot runners who actually run in the snow. I have not personally done that. The closest I've done is I did a run one night and ended up with, I don't know if it was pre-frostbite, but the tips of my toes were rock hard at the end of the run, and I didn't realize it was below freezing. I just went out for an evening run and came back. But it's interesting the way that they do this, the barefoot snow running. They overlayer their core, you know, hat, gloves, and then really overlayer the core, which then allows your body to send more blood to your extremities.
Oh, well, yeah.
And so if your head's covered, you know, your head doesn't need a lot of the heat. Your core is good, so all your vital organs are good.
Interesting.
Your hands are covered, so that you don't need the heat there. Boom, down to your feet.
Hmm.
Like I said, I haven't personally done it. I'm kind of curious about it, but
you've got an extra jacket now from AR. You can use
you
it.
Go, there
and get
you
out
go.
There and do it.
Exactly. Just wait. You know, wait for the snow.
Now, we've all, as runners, trail runners, have stubbed our toes on something,
right.
and that toenail's like, especially when you get lazy into some deep miles, and it's like, man, that
hurts.
Or
you hit it hard enough that you actually trip and fall on your face.
Yeah, the old catch your toe deal, where you go.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, the catch your toe deal.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when you're barefoot? You just don't do it because it would hurt.
I think
too much.
You're less likely to do it.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, if you're clumsy or you're not paying attention, I mean, I've tripped on, you know, uneven sidewalks. I kicked a construction stand, like the L bracket on the bottom, and sliced the bottom of my foot. I was watching a car race around the corner, and I was just kind of getting out of the way, and then I wasn't paying attention. Bam! I was like three quarters of a mile out on a 5 mile run, and now I got to walk back, you know. And then I got home, my wife freaked out, but you know, it was like I wasn't really running. I was kind of watching the car, so I don't consider it a barefoot running injury.
do your feet ever bruise?
Yes. My first 10K, actually my first trail race was a 10K out in Joaquin Miller Park, coincidentally. And I was walking up a hill and I stepped on a fist-sized rock right on my arch. And after that I had like a quarter-sized bruise right on my arch. So it's things like that. But generally speaking, I haven't really had too many injuries running barefoot. You know, I've had less blisters than what I hear a lot of people. I haven't lost a toenail. Granted, I never lost.
Wow.
Yeah, we do.
But, you know, I haven't lost a toenail in shoes. So, you know.
Huh. So what grade do you teach?
I teach special ed.
Okay.
Deaf and hard of hearing children.
Got it. Because I was going to guess you were a math teacher as I look across this table. Calculating man. So.
So who have you converted to barefoot running? Are your friends, any family, are they all running barefoot?
My son likes to come out with me occasionally. I'm cautious with him because you do have to pay attention, and he's a kid, so less likely to pay attention. I wouldn't say I've converted anyone to true barefoot. Some of my coworkers that I've trained for half marathons, they're running in water shoes. Some others run in Vibrams.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely there are some converts, but nobody's been quite so bold as to go all the way barefoot.
So let's talk about the conversion. You know, now that you've had the perspective of not listening to common knowledge and deciding to go out on your own quickly, and then finding that maybe some of that knowledge was there for a reason, What would you then now share with us? How long should it take before, you know, if I wanted to become barefoot, I want to be the next Terry Orsi. what should I do?
Definitely start out slow. I mean, if you're already a runner, I'd say you're kind of at a disadvantage because you might be already running crazy miles and you're not willing to give up that level of training. For those, I would say, and probably most of the people listening to this podcast because it's running, would be to maybe start out your run with, you know, 100 meters and finish the run 100 meters barefoot.
Just 100?
That sounds exactly like what he did. He went off the couch of not running for 2 years and then ran 2.5 miles. listen to the contrast.
Right, right. I've learned.
But he's the president of the society now.
So you would say, I mean, first of all, let's clarify. When you say start off slow, you're not saying pace slow.
No.
Distance. So and you're actually saying start with just 100 meters.
Yeah, 100 meters maybe. You know, I mean, you can go a little more. What you don't want to do is go out and run 2.5 miles and quickly build up to 5. And be right up to whatever your current mileage is within weeks. You're just asking for a lot of trouble. Now, there might be some people out there who can manage it. Maybe they spend a lot of time barefoot, not necessarily running, but they just have the musculature in their feet to do that. I did not. And a lot of people, I mean, if you just look at a lot of the barefoot running forums, there's always people asking, I've got this pain on it. We actually, there's a name for it, top of foot pain, TOFP. You'll see it all over. And it's always the new runners that have, you know, drank the Kool-Aid, I guess you could say, and said, hey, barefoot running, that's for me. I'm going to go. And they just go for it, which it's fantastic. I mean, it is exhilarating to run barefoot. But, you know, you do have to listen to conventional wisdom, which says take it easy, build up. So, yeah, 100 meters, 200 meters, you know, and then – what you would do is the beginning and end of your run, you would just increase those times. And then at a certain point, you might be able to just switch and go straight barefoot the whole way. Minimalist shoes is a little tricky because you don't get the full benefit of all the feedback you get from your feet. So there are a lot of people who say, well, I just run in Vibrams or I run in some kind of minimalist shoe. I've seen people running in Vibrams with a heel strike. And it just, I just want to freak out and yell at him, like, what are you doing? But, you know, it really does take a little bit of barefoot training to really understand what you're trying to accomplish. And so just gradually building up. And then, you know, if you're game for it, then go barefoot the whole way, you know, on your full run.
Because there's more than just the bottom of the foot pad to get in condition, right? There are the ligaments and the tendons and the muscles, and even the bones themselves need to condition for that kind of impact.
Absolutely. Actually, when I had my like tendonitis issue, I put on my old running shoes one day because I could barely walk and I needed to go to work, and I put on my shoes, and I couldn't feel the pain in my foot, and I was able to walk normal in my running shoes, and it was like this big light bulb went off and just said, you're not using the muscles in your feet when you're wearing these shoes, because when you're barefoot and walking, you can barely stand the pain.
No, here's the way I saw it. Shoes are good. You put them on and your feet quit hurting.
Right, exactly.
just a thought.
Yeah.
Another
side of the coin. Yeah.
When I put my jacket on, it's not as cold outside. Jacket good.
So if someone is thinking that they want to do this barefoot thing, would you recommend going out and, like you said, running 100 meters barefoot? Or would you recommend, hey, let's go to a
pizza parlor?
A Huarache sandal or a minimalist shoe and do that for a while and then graduate into barefoot?
No, I think you should absolutely
take the shoes off. And go,
you know, Barefoot Ken Bob, he's written a book, and he's very well known, especially in the barefoot community, but as kind of like the godfather of barefoot running. He's been doing it for 30, 40 years, I think. And he says, find the roughest surface, hardest surface you can find, and that's where you learn to run barefoot, because you will learn very quickly how to run light on your feet. And so the best way is to not cheat it, not, you know, try to short circuit it. Just
don't
do it.
Don't go to the nice softest grassiest field, right. And say,
well, and that you know, the softest grass is going to hide a rock or piece of glass or anything like that. You can't see what you're running on. Mm. You know, the road or the sidewalk, you can see exactly what you're on.
I really like that running efficiency that you're talking about. You know, that you get the most out of each and every step when you can, one, feel what's there, and two, you're not going to have any wasted motion, any scuffing coming in or pushing off going out. That's all wasted motion.
That's all wasted motion, yeah.
I think I may go try.
I kicked my shoes off underneath the table.
I'll tell you, what was it, 2 years ago, we did a little podcast with a gentleman that made barefoot sandals. And we both
Steven Sashin.
Yeah.
Invisible Shoe.
The Invisible
Shoe. That's what I wore, actually.
It's actually a different name now.
Zero Shoes.
Zero Shoes now. Yeah. And so Don and I both own a pair. And I
can't find mine. They're invisible.
They're invisible.
They're invisible. I went out one evening. I was down in Fresno for business. And I thought, you know, I'm going to go for a night run. And I put them on. And immediately I thought, this feels good. And so what did I do?
Went out for a long ways, but more than 100 meters.
8 mile run with these things. And by the end of that, I was walking and in pain.
I remember that. You came back with
tape all over your feet. Yeah, I was just, I was one of the same guys that said, oh, that's not for me. I'm a runner. I can
do 8 miles. Yeah. And that's the hardest thing, I think, with a lot of runners is putting that ego aside, saying, I can run 20 miles in shoes or 30 miles or 50 miles or whatever. You switch to barefoot, you kind of have to start over to an extent.
And some of those injuries are going to be cumulative in nature. The injury to the bone themselves, I read an article about some edema, some swelling around the bone, the periosteum, the layer that wraps around the bone. These things are found on MRIs when people get out there and do too much impact too early. Mm-hmm. And so these things can sneak up on you, and just not all of a sudden as you're running, you know, it hurts me now. It's cumulative in nature.
Right. You definitely, one of the things it does teach you is to run light. I always say run like a ninja. You know, I've run with friends and they're like, are you still there behind me? Because I can't hear you. And I've run up on people. I've run up on dogs, which if you can run up on a dog, then you're doing it right.
Versus
Hoka.
Don and I, one day we were running up a road and, we could
on the way to a trailhead. Okay.
And it was kind of dark, and all of a sudden we could see this runner off in the distance, and you could hear him. Mm-hmm. And Don says, that's the sound of a Hoka.
They have a very distinct sound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Well, yeah. It's exactly
that. I'll tell you what, Terry. You've intrigued me. I think I need to go find my invisible shoes and take it easy this time and go out there and experiment a little bit. Maybe not as long. I don't know if I have the self-control to go 100 meters. I think I may go a half a mile.
Terry says start without any shoes at all. So you keep sneaking back into your invisible shoe.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the shoes off.
Yeah. Yeah, listen to this podcast, Scott.
I'm going to take my shoes off right now.
I want to know how much money you've saved in shoes. That's what I want to know, because let's get right down to it. I mean, this is my motivation here.
Oh, gosh, I don't know. 3.5 years. Couple of pairs a year.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking real money.
Yeah,
you're making money.
Sending your kids to school.
Right, exactly.
You
know,
what have you bought? 2 or 3 rolls of tape?
just the one roll for the race.
Yeah, so you're money ahead. Okay, you're banking money. Well, we appreciate you coming in and bringing your story and I met met you on the trail and knew there was more than I could get from you just on the trail. And so
thank you. It's my pleasure.
We'd like to share it with other people. I figured, heck, if I want to know this stuff, there's got to be people that want to listen to it.
How do people find your blog?
Yeah.
It's Story of a Barefoot Runner, and it's just on Blogspot. So if you Google...
We'll link it.
Yeah, link it. Google it.
And then we'll link your society too, right?
Yes, Barefoot Runner Society. Yeah.
Good. We'll do that as well. Well, to our Runner Nation members, if you haven't already taken off your shoes, now might be a good time for 100 meters only. It's beginning and the end. If you're only running 200 meters, you can keep your shoes off the whole time. Is that right?
There you go.
So that's
out and back. That's called an out and back.
Out and back.
Or a loop.
Or a quick loop. I think that's called running around the house. Yeah.
Yeah, around the house.
Go out to trailrunnernation.com.
Yep.
Check out stuff.
The new ultra pink PEKs are now available and for those ladies or men who feel confident in their manlyhood.
I like that, and I feel confident.
Dawn has actually sported a pink, ultra pink PEK. Is it still on your leg?
You know what? You know,
wash off.
That thing was stubborn. Let me tell you, it's not easy to remove.
Stubborn like a lady.
And what else? We Are Nation is our Twitter handle.
Yep, it is.
Is that what they call it? Did you ever talk on a CB, Scott?
Heck yeah.
Terry, do you even know what a CB is? You're a young man.
I'm much younger than you guys.
Oh, good.
That's a big 10-4.
All right, buddy.
Rubber ducky.
Go out and run.
Moss.
Windmill, windmill for the...